Folks, you know what Christianity is? Christianity is not just that I believe in Jesus. Christianity is not just that I got saved and I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Christianity is that I am one with my Savior. That He is in me and I'm in Him. That we're connected. That's the meaning. You see, whatever you eat becomes part of you. Right? Have you heard that old saying, you are what you eat? You didn't want to hear that, did you? Whatever you eat, whatever you drink, now becomes part of you. When Jesus told them, here's my body that is broken for you, when they ate it, they became part of Him. Here's my blood, drink it. When they drank that cup, they became part of it. Not physically, but spiritually. Not just them, all of us who believe in Jesus. Now we're connected to Him.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Sustenance by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible, from the way we worship, to the way we serve, to the way we love one another. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
One of my favorite commercials on TV is the Snickers ad. Anybody here seen that commercial? Y'all don't watch TV? Well, good for you. It's okay if you don't. You know, somebody feels guilty for watching TV or not watching TV. But it's funny because it is so true. The tagline is what? You're not you when you are hungry, right? And they show you celebrities, in their element, upset or cranky or whatever. You're not you when you are hungry. And the reason we like it is because it is so true. We're not us when we are hungry. We feel sluggish, we feel cranky, we feel anxious, nauseous when we don't have physical food. So also in the Christian life, you're not you when you are spiritually hungry. Just as we need physical food to have physical sustenance, we also need spiritual food for spiritual sustenance. And what is spiritual food? Spiritual food is feeding upon Jesus Christ and His words, and it's not optional. It is essential for the Christian life. And we're going to talk about that, and towards the end, we're going to celebrate the communion. We're going to take part of the Lord's table. And this message is going to help us understand how important that is. And not just to drink the cup and eat that piece of wafer, but to feed upon Christ, to know that we're connected to Him, and to know that we can have this stop, go, and come, and feel once in a while, but we have to have a connection with Christ at all times. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to John chapter 6, verse 53 through verse 56, and let's once again stand for the reading of God's Word. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, or in some Bibles it said, amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Let those words sink into your mind, sink into your hearts. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Before we look at this very deep and sort of difficult passage, how is your spiritual nutrition? Are you feeding upon Christ? Are you connected to the source of our spiritual sustenance, our nourishment? Are you daily feeding upon His Word? And are you saved? See, unless you're saved, all this will be gibberish. Unless you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, this seems like cannibalism. For me to say, eat my flesh and drink my blood, We're talking about something that is very barbaric, that's very heinous. How can we do that? You have to be saved. You need the Holy Spirit in your life to say, I get it. I get it. So if you do not know Christ, here's what I want you to do. Never pray to receive Jesus as your Savior. Whatever reason you're here tonight, maybe you're here because of family, maybe you're here because of friends, maybe you're here to just check it out, see what's going on at Clearview. Maybe it is that God has brought you here for you to get saved. Because all this time you're living in delusion, you're thinking you are saved when you're really not. And it's very simple. It goes like this. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins. And you were buried and you rose again. And I need you to come into my life. I need you to save me. I need you to forgive me of my sins. And I need you, here's very important, I need you to take over. I want you to be my Savior, but I want you to be my King, which means I'm going to follow you, obey you, no matter the cost. Typically, when we have the Lord's Supper or the communion, now in some traditions, they have a different word for it. They call it the Eucharist or the Mass or the Sacrament, the Blessed Sacrament, many different names people use. But typically, when we celebrate this ordinance, we turn to either the end of the Synoptic Gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, and Luke, or we go to 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul instructs the Corinthian church how to properly take part of the communion. In these passages, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and in 1 Corinthians 11, we encounter Jesus having his final meal with his disciples before he was crucified. During this meal, Jesus preached a message on the... He gave a familiar tradition, the Passover meal, a whole new meaning. Now, some time back, I preached a message on 1 Corinthians 11 where I explained what that meaning that he gave to the cup and the bread really meant. Now, if you remember that, you know what I'm talking about. But for the benefit of those who were not here, Jesus, he took that bread, that unleavened bread, and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you." The disciples knew what a unleavened piece of bread was, but they didn't know, they had never heard someone say, "Well, this is the body of your master." And that's what Jesus did. Then at the same supper, in the Passover meal, there were four cups, and the third cup was the cup of the blessing. And Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." So now the bread, which is unleavened, becomes his body, and the cup, which is a cup of blessing, is now his blood, which is about to be shed for their sins. I'm not sure how much the disciples truly understood what Jesus just did. I mean, can you imagine the shock? Can you imagine sitting there at a very familiar meal you've done all your life, and then someone comes and says, "Okay, guys, let me explain to you what this really means. The bread is me. The cup is my blood." It's like if I were to show up at your Thanksgiving meal and pick up a leg of turkey and say, "Hey guys, this is me." What would you do? You'd be like, "We just lost our appetite." Yeah. You know, it'd be kind of awkward. You know, what is Jesus doing? But he did this. You can only imagine how they must have felt. Their old customs and their traditions were radically altered in a way by their master, but by faith, these disciples did what Jesus told them to do. They took that bread and they ate. And they took that cup and they drank. And only later on, I believe, they truly understood the meaning of what Jesus told them to do. Now, here's the question. Now, today's message is going to be deep, so don't fall asleep. Why in the world did Jesus do this thing? Why did he give this bread a whole new meaning, in the cup, a whole new meaning? Why did he do that? You see, Jesus was telling his disciples that by eating this bread and by drinking this cup, they were going to share, and I'm going to give you a big word, they were going to share with him in his substitutionary existence. He said, what is that? What Jesus was telling them is that now by drinking and by eating that bread, they were connected with him. They were going to be spiritually connected, not physically connected with him. He is about to die. They were going to die with him. When his blood was going to be shed, they were going to be bleeding. When he was buried, they were going to be buried. Not physically, mind you, but spiritually. This is my body. Eat it. When you eat it, now you're connected to me. This is my blood. Drink it. When you drink it, now you are connected to me. Now, you may think, man, this spiritual stuff is too deep. I've never heard something like this. Folks, this was not a problem for the Jewish believers. You know, when the Jewish people celebrated the Passover, they were told to eat the Passover meal. Listen carefully. To eat the Passover meal as if you were there that night when God sent the last plague, the 10th plague. And you were there in that room standing with your loins girded, waiting to leave, to rush out, because now you have been set free. You were to eat the Passover meal the same way, listen, as the first participants did it. You see, so when Jesus told them what he did, it was not something odd and awkward. They already knew what it meant to visualize themselves as if they were there that first night. The difficult part was not that Jesus said, this is this and this is that. The difficult part was that Jesus told them that he was the bread and that he was the Passover lamb, and it was his blood that was going to be shed. You see, Jesus wanted the disciples to understand their spiritual connection with him as he suffered, as he bled, as he died, as he was buried for them. By the way, this spiritual connection was not just for the first disciples. This is for all disciples. It's for all of us. You remember when Paul wrote to the Corinthians? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you're going to hear that again when I come down and pass out the bread and the cup. You're going to hear that again, but I want you to hear those words one more time. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. What does Paul say? He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" You see, Paul was not there that night when the disciples celebrated that Passover. He was not there in that room when Jesus said, "Here's my body, here's my blood." He wasn't there. But he is now celebrating it as if he was there. And he is passing it along to all the disciples in Corinth, and to the rest of us, that when we take part of the communion, the bread and the cup, we are to take part of it as if we were there. Because in a way, we were. In a way, when Jesus died, guess what, folks? You died. When he was buried, you were buried. When he rose, you rose. He said, "I don't know about that, Pastor. I don't get that." Well, I'm glad you feel that way. Because baptism, just like communion, is also our connection with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at on the screen in Romans chapter 6. I told you the message is deep tonight. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. What does Paul say? He says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" You know, when Sarah went into the baptismal waters, she was not going in the water to wash her sins. No amount of water can wash your sins. She was not going into the water to have a special anointing. And no amount of water can give you special anointing. You know what she was telling everybody, all of us, including herself, that now she knows Jesus Christ is her Savior, and baptism is a demonstration that she died with Christ, She went into the water. She was buried with him. And what happened? Go back to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When she came out of the waters, what she's saying is, along with Jesus, I'm also risen. I am one with him. Folks, you know what Christianity is? Christianity is not just that I believe in Jesus. Christianity is not just that I got saved and I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Christianity is that I am one with my Savior. That he is in me and I'm in him. That we're connected. That's the meaning. You see, whatever you eat becomes part of you. Right? Have you heard that old saying, you are what you eat? You didn't want to hear that, did you? Whatever you eat, whatever you drink, now becomes part of you. When Jesus told them, here's my body that is broken for you, when they ate it, they became part of him. Here's my blood, drink it. When they drank that cup, they became part of it. Not physically, but spiritually, not just them, all of us who believe in Jesus. Now we're connected to him. When we get saved, God applies to us what's already happened to us, that we died, we were buried, and we rose with him. We are a new creation in Christ. Amen? So, communion is simply our corporate connection with Jesus. Baptism is our individual connection with Jesus. That's all it is. When we do this, folks, what we're saying is, not only am I individually connected with Jesus, just like Sarah did, we're also a family connected with Jesus. It's a meal. There is no other religion like Christianity where our founder, our God, our Savior, is connected beyond time to every person who has received him, and every person who has received him, listen to this, is connected to each other. You know, for me to mistreat you is to mistreat the body of Christ. Because you have Christ in you. For me to be rude to you, for me to gossip about you, for me to cut you down and criticize you, guess what? I am doing something offensive against Jesus Christ. How can I do that? That's convicting, isn't it? Husband and wives, you're saved? And you're being hateful to one another? People in the family of God, are you saved? You want to be hateful? And you say, well, I guess I can be hateful to so-and-so because they're not saved. But guess what? You are the only Jesus they will ever see because he is in you. You know, when you get saved, everything changes. You can't live the same old way because now Christ is in you. I know some of y'all are still not sure. You're thinking, man, this connection stuff, that's too deep. I like the old-fashioned, just preach hard and tell us to repent and get right with Jesus and go out there and evangelize and fill the church and give and support. This all connection stuff is too much. Well, let's go back to John chapter 6, the passage we just read in the opening. Did you know that John is the only one who doesn't tell us what happened on that evening? And how Jesus changed the meaning of the bread to his body and the meaning of the cup to his blood. He tells us that Jesus celebrated the Last Supper, but he only talks about how he washed the disciples' feet. He doesn't go into detail about the communion. Matthew, Mark, and Luke do, and 1 Corinthians, Paul does, but John doesn't tell us that part. But earlier in John chapter 6, he tells us something. And that's the passage we just read. Let's listen to that once more. John chapter 6 and verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, who was he talking to? He was talking to the Jewish people, the religious leaders who were quarreling among themselves and saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Same question many of y'all have right now. Man, I've been in church all my life. I never heard that. I didn't know until I heard tonight. The same problem they had. How can this be that this man is going to give us his flesh to eat? And that's when Jesus says in John 6:53, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Without Jesus Christ in you, you are dead in trespasses and sins. You may be a good person. You may be a kind person. You may give people the shirt off your back, but you are still a dead person in sins. And when they quarreled among themselves, Jesus said that, but then he says again in verse 54, which we read in the opening, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has what? Has eternal life. And here's the promise that if my life is in you, that whole eating the bread and drinking the cup is simply a spiritual representation, is symbolic that if my life is in you, here's the promise. What's the promise? I will raise him up at the last day. For Jesus to not do that is to let part of him die. That's deep, isn't it? Now, you'll never be God. I will never be God. But because of Jesus Christ, I'm in the family of God. And he doesn't leave any part of the family behind. Isn't that awesome? No matter what happens. Now listen to this. Verse 55. For my flesh is food indeed. What he's talking about is spiritually. And my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, what's the word? Abides in me. What's that word again? Abides in me. In John 15, Jesus talked about, abiding with him means we're connected. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, but here's the bigger promise, and I in him. We're connected. You know, you heard people say, well, if you've been slipping away from God, guess who moved? Well, if you really know Jesus Christ, no one's moved. You're just living in disobedience temporarily. You're under the same roof. God may have to give you some spiritual whooping. That's a different issue. But nobody moved. He's still connected to you. If you're truly saved. Now, if you're not saved, that's a whole different problem. We're connected. And then, in verse 57... he says, as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Who is the bread? This is Jesus himself. And what's their reaction? This is beautiful. Yeah, not really, but this is kind of awesome to read. Therefore, many of his disciples, did you know that? Did you hear that word? Many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Just like many of us tonight are saying, this is too deep. And what is Jesus' response? This is powerful. He said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. You know, that tells us that Judas was only the one who carried it out. There were others waiting to betray him. That's amazing, isn't it? Wow. Here's a question. If you were there that night, if you were there 2,000 years ago, what would you have done? Would you be with Judas? Would you be with those who's like, man, I'm a realistic person. You know, I like to see clear cut. You know, I live in the real world. I hear a lot of people say that to me. I'm more realistic. Pastor, now you're more spiritually minded. I'm more realistic. Well, you would be lost. You would die in your sins. Jesus says, does this offend you? And then he tells them how it is this Holy Spirit who gives life. And then in verse 65, he said, therefore I have said to you that no one comes to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. And from that time, listen to this. This is very, very harsh, and yet it's so true. In verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Can you imagine that? They left him. Wow. It just gives me chills when I read that. They left the Son of God and didn't want any more of it. Now, here's the question, which I believe Jesus is asking us as well this evening. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Is this too deep? Is this too much? Do you want to leave as well? But Simon Peter, remember Simon Peter, we say, you know, always he is open mouth, insert foot, right? He's always saying things he shouldn't be saying. He always gets in trouble. But Simon Peter answered to him, say, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I don't believe he understood every bit of what he said. But he was on the way. My question to you this evening is, which group do you belong to? You belong to the group of those who said, this is too much. I don't know about all this feeding upon you and drinking your blood. It's just too much. Or are you the disciples, just like Peter, who said, to whom shall we go? You're it. Question tonight, as we are about to celebrate and take part of the communion, is, are you saved? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Has there been a point in your life where you asked Him to save you? Because unless you did, you're feeding on earthly things. You're feeding on philosophies. You're feeding on assumptions that you picked up all your life. You're building your life on assumptions, and you are in for a horrible, rude awakening on the other side. When God says, depart from me, I never knew you. Imagine that, folks. I believe this group is here tonight because there's someone here who needs to hear that. You're in for a rude awakening on the other side when you say, oh, Jesus, I'm saved, I'm here. He says, who are you? Well, I'm saved. I was in church all my life, and I served, and I did this and did that. He'd say, my word was never in you. You never ate on my flesh. You never drank my blood. You're not part of me. I have no obligation to raise you up on the last day. Depart from me. Imagine that. Folks, do you really know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you don't, tonight, it's a simple prayer. I gave you that prayer in the opening. Ask Him to come into your life.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Communion isn't just an empty ritual that we perform. It's a family meal. It's our corporate identification with Christ, the way that we spiritually connect with who Jesus is and what He's done for us. The bread and the cup, when we understand this, take on a whole new... When we understand this, the bread and the cup take on a whole new level of significance in our lives. How do you view the Lord's Supper? For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.